What is going on, everybody? My name is Stephanie Walsh. This is Side B Radio, the podcast. And today I have a conversation that I recorded a couple weeks ago, but I feel like now's the time. Tomorrow's election day, etc. My friend Amanda and I had this conversation. And Amanda is a Southern gal, and she works for a religious organization. And she has some very strong opinions, and I thought that our conversation would go one way, but it became very political and very, I don't know, unlike anything I've had on the show before, but I still think that it was cool and worth listening to if you enjoy listening to this show. So that's what this episode is. I hope that you guys dig it. I think it's awesome, and I appreciate Amanda very much for taking the time and having this conversation with me. For those of you who have not listened on Spotify, apparently there's a new way, it's not apparent, this is actually a thing, there's a new way to podcast on Anchor, which is the platform that I use and have been using for a while, and it includes music. You can have music on your podcast, which, as anyone who has been following Side B for a while knows, it was originally a radio show at my school and then became an internet radio show, but it was mostly music-based. It was always music-based. And I was really excited by the prospect of being able to make music shows again with Anchor. The caveat, though, is that it's only available on Spotify. So if you are subscribed to Side B on Apple or Google or Stitcher or wherever else you may listen to this podcast, that episode didn't even show up for you. You guys don't even know that episode exists. But if you go to Spotify, there's an episode that I did a couple days ago. Or I guess last week. I want to continue to do that, but I also want to continue to interview, you know, based shows and things like that as well. And I don't like the idea of losing the audience that doesn't use Spotify. So, I think that I will do music episodes maybe like every other week or so, and then interviews the other weeks. Hopefully that works for you guys. If you don't listen on Spotify or you haven't yet and you want to, just head over to Spotify. Like, you can find me there the same way you found me anywhere else that you went. Also, if you're following the social media or whatever, you'll see when a new episode goes up. But that is something. I did an episode last week and I had so much fun curating a playlist that included Charlene Kay, The Neon Trees, Bush, the bassist from Bush, Corey Britz, has his own song. I threw in a little Constantine Maroulis and some Va Va Voom. But there's, you know, so many possibilities for playlists. I could, you know, I could make playlists about food for Thanksgiving, you know, featuring the Cranberries, or, you know, Broadway or Disney even, although I think that my Disney podcast is going to do some Disney music episodes too. That's the way that my other podcasts were all kind of thinking about, like, okay, how are we going to format this? I know, let's do bonus episodes. And that's cool. But for this show, I feel like half of it would be music, so it's not even a bonus. It's just like every other week, just tune into Spotify. I'm not sure. Obviously, I would need your feedback. I would appreciate your feedback. Let me know if that's something that you're interested in. I could do bonus episodes, like, say, for example, if I have another conversation with, like, a Broadway actor then and who has music or something, then maybe I would do, like, a bonus, like, here are some of his songs, like, on a separate podcast for, like, the same day. I don't know. Something to think about. But anyway, here's the interview with Amanda, and I'll talk to you guys a little bit after that. Thanks. I don't know. You have a lot of interesting things that you've done, and you've lived, like, all over the freaking country, so
yeah.
I thought we could talk about. I mean, you and I have known each other for close to 10 years, not quite 10 years.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess we were in the same circles about 10 years ago, and then I guess it's been 8 years ago since I lived up there.
God, that's so crazy.
I know, right?
So today I'm talking to my friend Amanda. Amanda
You want to give a quick little bio about yourself?
Sure. So, born and raised Southern girl. I'm from Southeast Arkansas, middle of nowhere. But went to school in Arkansas. But after that, I have been all over the place. Lived in Texas about 3 years. Moved from Texas to Connecticut for a year. From Connecticut back to Arkansas, and then from Arkansas to Arizona. Arizona back to Arkansas, and then Arkansas to Tennessee. So I now live in Nashville, but that's not for long because I'm trying to buy a house back in my hometown in Arkansas. So I've been all over the place.
That's really, like, inspiring in some ways, though. Like, I've lived in two different states.
Yeah.
But I have family, you know, like, my dad had moved back to New York, and then a couple years later, he invited me to come move up to New York, so I did, and, like, I've been in New York. The idea of, like, I don't know, Los Angeles is a nice, like, thought.
It's fantastic. But I don't know that I would live there in a heartbeat.
But I don't know that I could actually live there. Like, I don't know.
That's the unique thing. I mean, in all of these places that I've lived, I mean, outside of living in my hometown, I've moved there pretty much sight unseen, you know, didn't know anybody. When I moved to Connecticut, I had never been to Connecticut. literally never been. I got the job because I went through I was a live-in nanny, and I got the job because I went through like a New York nanny, group, because I came to New York on vacation and was like, this is a cool place. I'd like to live here. And so I did it. And got matched up with a family who lived in Connecticut. I had never been in Connecticut. They picked me up from the airport and took me to Connecticut for the first time to live in the house that I lived in for a year.
That's very brave, I think.
And I mean, kind of basically the same deal when I moved to Arizona. I flew out for my first interview, flew out for my second interview, drove out there and moved in for my third time ever in Arizona. And so, I mean, that's kind of the story of my life, that, you know, I've moved across the country pretty much sight unseen and had to make friends and figure things out.
But you can also, like, reinvent yourself. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, sort of, because, I mean, so my employment, I've always been in religious employment of some sort, at least, mostly working for the live-in nanny was not religious, but that's kind of my only long-term job that I've had that wasn't some sort of religious employment. I've always worked at a church or for a religious organization. I work for a religious organization now, a publishing company out of Nashville. I won't say what it is, just, you know, for whatever reason. You know, I mean, it's one thing, which we can get into that, because, you know, I'm highly religious and, you know, I'm a Christian and, you know, like, that's an important part of my life. But I'm also, like, a musician and fairly liberal, and, you know, and especially becoming more and more liberal in today's society because conservatism is gone crazy. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of interesting to, like, quote unquote, reinvent myself, but there's always this, I guess, this air of, like, this is kind of what you're supposed to be given the position you're in, which, I mean, I said I've been in religious employment. I've also been fired from 3 churches, but that's a really long story.
Well, and wasn't some of it based on, like, social media? Didn't you lose a job based on, like, having more liberal views?
Yes. Yeah. So the second church position that I lost because I, you know, like Steph, big Darren Criss fan, have been forever. And so when Darren got the role of Hedwig and Hedwig and the Angry Inch, I had to be there. And, you know, I just wanted to be there. I've always gone to all of his shows. And I talked to the pastor of the church that I was working for about it. And he was into Broadway and knew all about the show. And he was like, yeah, I didn't like Neil Patrick Harris win the Tony for that. And so, like, we had a discussion. He knew what it was and was like, it was fine. Asked me not to post anything about going on social media because he knew that maybe some of the church members would be a little uncomfortable with a show about, you know, a transgendered person, which, even though that's not my viewpoint, I can understand and I respect the position, you know, and, like, people have different viewpoints. That's a thing, especially in church. But I went and I respected that. I didn't post anything on social media other than like I was going to New York. But I was tagged in a picture outside of the theater where you could see like Darren's name across the top and then like his makeup. And that was it. And then it was just a group of us standing outside of the theater. And I didn't think anything of it. I was tagged in the picture. You know, I didn't necessarily feel that that was violating any rules or anything. The next day I got a phone call from the pastor or actually I got a text message from the pastor who was very angry and felt like, I had went against his wishes and, that it reflected poorly on him as well, that I had went to the show because people had been calling the personnel committee of the church and, you know, and saying, you know, that they had looked up that show, which meant that they had to like first Google Darren Criss.
Oh yeah. Second, like that's second a lot Google of research what, to get angry at somebody.
Second, Google what show he was in. Third, figure out what that show was about. And then rather than contact me and ask me anything, reach out to the personnel committee to get me fired. But yeah, so that was like I went to see the show on a Thursday, got the phone call on a Friday, flew back to Arkansas on a Saturday. Went to church on Sunday, like everything was fine. Monday, I was called in his office and was told I was let go. You know, this is the thing. In hindsight, it's okay. Like, you know, I mean, I was able to move on. I was able to do other things. And, you know, I mean, it hasn't stopped me from being able to work. I mean, I've worked for another church. I work for a religious organization now. They know this story. It's been a part of my interview and every other place that I've worked since. You know, and like, it's okay. You know, I was able to be who I am authentically. This is who I am. If you don't like it, this is my story. If you don't like it, then I'm probably not your best candidate. You know, like, let's move on. And, you know, that's the reality is that I can be who I am, who is, you know, a Jesus loving children's minister with a master's degree in Christian education, while also supporting my friends in the roles that they take on Broadway that just so happen to maybe be a little against some of your religious viewpoints. And so, you know, it's the best of both worlds now because I get to do both. I get to be authentically me all the time. And so it's really great.
Okay. But like, I'm all for you being your authentic self. You didn't do anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you no longer work for this particular organization, so it is what it is. But if you hadn't been let go, would you have been okay to continue working with that community?
Had I not been let go, I know that eventually something else would have happened and they would have found another reason to let me go. I mean, right. That's the reality. I mean, because clearly they were hunting for something already. So like 3 weeks prior to that, I had went to Coachella and there were a huge portion of like parents and things at that church that were really concerned with the fact that I went there too. Like, because, you know, this is Southeast Arkansas and their viewpoint of Coachella is a bunch of like rich celebrities, like getting wasted and stoned in the middle of the desert. And I'm like, well, actually there are children there and it's a music festival. I'm like, if I had went to Stagecoach, it would have been no problem. But because it was, you know, because it wasn't country music and Go Trump and like, you know, and super conservative, you know, it was out there. And so, I mean, honestly, I don't know that I would still be there. But, you know, probably not. But, you know, like the church that I worked for in Arizona was great. Everything was great. I was let go, not because the church didn't want me, because the senior pastor didn't want me. That's a whole other story, which he just got fired along with the entire staff that he brought in because the church rose up against him. So, So, you know, it sucked to get fired. But I mean, I kind of feel a little vindicated in the fact that they didn't like him either. So there's that.
So the publishing company you're at,
yeah,
is it like Bibles that they like? What is?
Yeah. Okay. So our company, first of all, a division of our company is the oldest Bible publisher in North America, and so we do print and publish Bibles, a translation that was developed directly by our team, and then the good old fashioned King James Version, the one that was developed by our team. So we are. So I mean, I can just. this, if anybody's listening to this, they'll figure it out really quick. We are Southern Baptist affiliated. And if you know who the publishing company that Southern Baptist affiliated is, ding, ding, you're right. But the Bible that we kind of worked together, it was multiple denominations. In fact, there is kind of a mutual of ours, Jen, that's a mutual of me and Steph. Her dad is a Presbyterian minister and was on the team that helped develop this. Develop this translation. But yeah, we sell Bibles. Our big hot item, so people don't think about this.
Sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but it's just, you're like, yeah, Bibles and then our hot item.
Well, okay, so this is what's funny, because people don't think about this, but so with coronavirus, so you go to church mm-hmm. and you take communion, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so normally when you take communion, you know, regardless of, you know, Protestant, Catholic, everything in between, usually there's some sort of, like, either it's an individual open cup, or like you're served with some cup and like some sort of bread that's just laying out there in the open. Mm-hmm. Well, with COVID, people don't want your big empty, your big open cup and your right. big. So we have this product we call the Fellowship Cup, which is a very small little cup of like juice. So like non-alcoholic wine. So like red juice right. with like a wafer that's like stamped on top. So it's like sealed package. Okay. So we've been selling that for years, and, you know, people would have it, and we usually have like 6 months of stock in our warehouse. Well, with COVID happening, well, everybody wanted that
right.
so that they can still have communion at their church. It's back ordered like 100,000 times over. Like, it's like a 6 month wait to get your prepackaged communion supplies.
That's so crazy. People think that's right. so people funny.
People don't think of that. Our company didn't think about that. Like, we weren't prepared.
No.
And so now, like, people will call and they're like, yeah, I need to order that. We need to take communion this Sunday. I'm like, ma'am, I'm sorry. You won't be able to take communion until October, but good luck with that. Like, go to Kroger and get you some juice and crackers, because that's the best we got. And, you know, and.
Well, apparently you can order communion wafers on Amazon. I just saw somebody who is not a Christian who wanted to taste one, which, why? Like, it was her Instagram story, and she was like, I wanted to know what this tastes like, so we ordered these on Amazon. And at first of all, it was huge. It was, like, the big one, not,
the
like...
big one, yeah.
So, like, because she bites into it, like, she was like, this is legitimately styrofoam. And I was, like, watching her, well, and I'm just like, why? Why did you buy it? Why are you eating it? What are you doing? Like,
and
also,
this is the thing.
It's obviously not blessed if you bought it on Amazon, so it doesn't right. matter anyway.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
You are eating styrofoam, right?
Well, and I had like a customer who called, and she somehow, this was like before all, you know, all of this went down. So she got a batch that was like not the greatest quality. And she called and she was like, you know, do I need to send it back? And I was like, oh no, you can just like throw it away. And she goes, well, I mean, like, is it blessed? And I'm like, okay, how do we get into a theological conversation about how you can throw this away? I'm like, well, you know, so what we do is we just produce it, but then we kind of let the church and the, like, the pastors and the priests make the decision to bless it or not based on your own personal beliefs about taking your communion. Right. And so inherently you can throw it away. And she was, oh, okay. And I was like, oh my gosh, did we really just get into a theological conversation about throwing it away?
Obviously, but when it's shipped, it's not blessed yet. No.
Right. No, it's not. It's not. And like, that's the whole thing. You know, I mean, like, different denominations and different faiths have different viewpoints on like communion, and I mean, I could go deep into that. I do have a theological degree, but like, but you know, I mean, like, but we just sell the product. Like, what you and your church and your denomination do with it is on you. So inherently, if you got like a rancid thing of grape juice, you can throw it in the trash. It's not like you're throwing Jesus's blood in the trash. It's okay. You're fine. And but that was definitely a conversation I had to have.
If it was blessed, would it still be rancid? Who knows?
right. You know, yeah. I mean, like, would like Jesus transform it into like not rancid? I don't
know.
Exactly.
That's a deeper question. Once it's blessed, would it then be good? This expired last month, but bless it, see what happens.
As they say, Jesus turned those little loaves and fish into 5,000 fish sandwiches.
That's insane. I mean, obviously, like, and I hope that I'm not coming off as like making fun, because I'm not. Like,
of course
I have my own beliefs. I'm obviously not working in any professional capacity as that. And I don't want this like episode to be like
religious.
pushing any not, kind of...
No.
That's not what we're doing here. But,
no, I'm not trying to proselytize you.
I've been to church once since COVID happened. I went with my father and stepmother up in Pennsylvania, and they did communion at the end of the service. Yeah. Like, on your way out the door, you're welcome to get communion. I did not take. My father and stepmother both did, and my father said, "What is wrong with you? Why didn't you?" And I was like, "Because I'm not comfortable. Like, I don't know this church."
It's okay.
Because that's the other thing, too. It's not like it was my church. Like, this was a random church in the woods that my dad goes to when he's in the Poconos on Sundays. Like, I guess he's probably part of the parish, but I'm not. Like, I don't know these people. I was kind of uncomfortable being there in general because some people weren't wearing masks.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've been inside physical church. I went a few times in June. And then the cases started rising again in Nashville. And I was like, you know what? I can watch this online. And, you know, and my parents have not been back in church since COVID's happened. But like my sister and brother-in-law, on the other hand, are using this as a time to like explore another church. You know, they had been going to one church and they're like, you know, we kind of think, you know, we might be interested in going to this other church. And so they've started going to the church, which is where my dad grew up and where I went as a child. But it's not where my, like where I grew up and where, you know, like my family went. You know, I mean, so, I mean, COVID has, it's weird. I mean, like had COVID not happened, I wouldn't be able to move home and buy a house, you know? So like, yeah, it really sucks, but you know, there's some pluses and minuses. I mean, I feel like most companies have learned that everyone can work from home for the most part. And, you know, we've discovered who truly is essential and who's not, you know, I mean.
Well, there's still debate about that, apparently.
Of course, yeah.
I can't handle, like, how things are happening right now. And it's funny because I told you, like, when we started recording, I don't know that I intend to release this, like, this week or next week or whatever.
Right.
So, God only knows what is possibly going to happen between now and when this is published. But I just can't. Like, I don't... How it's divided our nation is, how progressive some people are, and how determined not to progress others are.
It's so funny. So, like, back when I lived up there, you know, and I would even say up until 4 years ago, let's be honest, I have always considered myself Republican and conservative. And I remember you guys gave me a lot of crap because I met President Obama and I was like, oh, he's really cool. Like, he seems like a nice person. I just like don't agree with his politics. And y'all are like, but why? And I'm like, because I'm conservative. And so, but yet I guess I'm still, for the most part, I have a lot of the same conservative values I always have, but the way that the politics are shaping up in the United States just really, it makes me angry because it's so incredibly polarizing. You feel like if you're not very liberal, you know, if you're not for, I don't know, like almost like a, you know, like you're not, if you're not anti-capitalism, if you're not, I feel like feminist is the wrong word because, I mean, I am feminist, you know, and I support like women's rights and, you know, and all of that. But like, if you're not their brand of feminism, that, you know, you're not liberal or left enough. But then on the flip side, you can't be conservative if you don't like drink the Trump Kool-Aid. And I'm like, well, what happens to us that are like in the middle? And, you know, like we think, you know, they both suck, but, you know, like.
And that's the problem is that so many people think that both suck, but like this is not the year to.
Oh, sure.
Test that out. I am, and be like, oh, third party or whatever.
I am 100% voting for Joe Biden. 100%. Like that's not even a question. I mean, he wasn't my first choice for the Democratic president, but I knew that my first choice was a long shot. Because he's a gay small town mayor from Indiana, but but he's, you know what, he's on the map now and people know who Pete Buttigieg is and they can even pronounce his name. And so, I mean, he's going somewhere, but you know, I mean, I'm absolutely voting for
Joe Biden, because the alternative is someone who, I'm sorry, is the antithesis of Christianity. You cannot convince me otherwise. And, you know,
but he posted yeah. for that church. What do you mean?
Don't.
I just, mm-mm. like, I had this conversation with my father yesterday or maybe like 2 days ago about how, like, you can't even have, like, a reasonable conversation on either side.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
There's no reasoning with people who disagree with you in any, like, no. about anything. Like, even with this whole, like, the Supreme Court debate.
Absolutely.
I had somebody commenting on my Facebook being like, well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg wanted Obama to be able to put the other person in. There's a big difference between February and 40 days.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
None of this makes sense anymore. And everyone's like, well, you know, make sure you're represented. It's like, people are saying, oh, make sure you vote. Make sure you do this. Obviously, voting is important. Obviously, I think that anyone needs to get out there and do what they need to do. But, like, Clinton won the popular vote 4 years ago.
Well, okay, so that's my whole thing. Okay, so this is the thing. I'm going to vote for Joe Biden, but I'm a registered voter in the state of Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
The likelihood
of Arkansas Joe Biden, getting by
it's just Arkansas? Not, it's not going to happen. The irony is that, like, Arkansas prior to, let's see, I want to say, so, like, didn't, I think that they voted for Bush Jr. second time around, but prior to that had always been a Democratic state. It was mm-hmm. the last of the southern states to do that, like, fundamental flip, because everybody knows, like, it's kind of like the Alabama song, you know, my daddy was a Southern Democrat, try to get a rich man to vote like that. The South was Democrat. That's historically accurate. It's why, like, when the Republican Party is all the time talking about how, you know, we're the party of the Emancipation Proclamation, and we're the party, you know, that's like this. I'm like, that's right. You know, it was the Southern Democrats that were like the KKK and everything like that. But there's been a fundamental flip sometime in the 60s and 70s around the time of, like, women's liberation and gay rights issues and, like, the issue of abortion. It was like this total flip and segregation. Right. Okay. So there's this total flip. And so Arkansas was, like, the last to lose its quote-unquote Southern Democrat. So, like, when Mike Huckabee became governor of Arkansas, he was the first Republican governor of Arkansas since the Civil War. And that's not really been that long ago. That was, like, I think he became governor in, like, early 2000s. And so Arkansas is a weird state. I remember, like, my first few elections, I wanted to vote Republican. So when I went to the primary, I asked for a Republican ballot, and the only thing that was on the Republican ballot was, like, the president. There were, like, all of the local representatives, so your state representatives, your city council, your mayor, all were Democrat mm-hmm. every time. Whereas this time, when I wanted to vote in the primaries, because I wanted to be able to mark, you know, well, by the time Super Tuesday had come around, I was voting for Biden because Buttigieg had dropped out.
Right.
But I was like, I want to vote for Joe Biden. So I requested the Democrat ballot, and they sent me the Republican because nobody wants a Democrat ballot, right? No, I want the Democrat. And so it was like this whole thing because I had to send it back because you can't have two ballots. And I was just like, I requested the Democratic ballot and you sent me the wrong one. And anyway, it was a nightmare. And so, yes, voting by mail is totally safe, but you need the right ballot. Anyway, that's my two cents. But
yeah, like I said, I feel like I'm insane. Honestly, like, I watch the news, I watch on social media, and I'm just like, why? What is happening?
That's the whole thing. I feel like, you know, that was one of the big things that Pete was pushing, and I agree with, is abolishing the Electoral College. But the problem with abolishing the Electoral College is the only way that's going to happen is it has to pass the Senate. Well, the Senate doesn't want it to go away. Right. The same goes with, like, you know, House Representative and Senate term limits. Okay. Like, the people want term limits for senators and representatives. The problem is, do you know who gets to decide whether or not we're going to have term limits?
Well,
the same assholes that have been in Senate for 40 years. Sorry, I just cursed. So whatever. But,
Do you need me to edit it?
You don't have to edit it. It's whatever. It's not that big of a deal.
Listen, but I don't need you to get called about how you were on a podcast.
I won't. It's okay. Not a problem. But yeah, I mean, it's the same people that have been in Congress for 40 some odd years. And, you know, like they don't want to get rid of their job by instituting term limits. You know, I mean, my thing is if you, even if you did like four-year terms, you're still talking about 16 years of like serving. Like that's enough time to, you know, have some tenure, have some, you know, clout and be a senior senator or, you know, or whatever.
Right, exactly. There should without, be some... They really do need to revamp something in the government because it's not working.
It just needs, yeah. I mean, you know, and people keep saying we need more young people in government. Absolutely, we do. And like people like AOC are great, you know, like Rosen into power, even though I like, I don't agree with all of her politics, like well, more also, power like, to her.
Don't get me wrong. She's a great like start, I guess. Yeah. But she also makes a lot of noise and not a lot of change.
Exactly.
She's
exactly.
very loud. And yes. don't get me wrong. Usually when she's talking, I'm going, yep, that makes sense. Yep, that's a good idea. She's awesome. Good for her. But, like, she's not changing anything. Like,
changing anything. Right. Like, and I think that that's, and I mean, I've discovered that in just about everything that I've done throughout, like, my career. And, you know, that a lot of people have a lot of really great ideas, but mm-hmm. whether or not you can follow through with them is a big deal. And, you know, I mean, and that's, I've heard that argument for Joe Biden, against Joe Biden. They're like, well, he's been in politics for like ever. And, you know, like, what does he truly have to show for it? Like, what has he actually done? Which, I mean, I could go on and on about it. But like, I mean, well, he, you know, a lot. But, you know, like people will say that, you know, well, it took him all of these years. And why does he think that he can change it now? And it was like, because he's never been president before, okay? Right. Like, well, and also that's why.
Like, look at his competition. But again, like, 4 years ago, I know that at least here in New York, no one thought that was really going to happen.
Oh, no one thought it was going to happen here. And, like, this was the thing. So I remember going to work, and at the time, so, like, during the 2016 election, I was massively underemployed. I was working at Whataburger, so like the fast food restaurant, mm-hmm. and you know, like it's delicious. But
I've
yeah,
never
I mean,
been
I,
to like the South.
You like once I get my house and have like a legit.
I don't know,
bedroom,
Amanda. I don't know if I'm coming to Arkansas. I would love to see you. I would love to see your dog. I don't know that I
now,
can
listen,
handle being in Arkansas.
Listen. Listen, Linda. No, okay?
I would literally be like, it's like a movie. Oh my goodness. This
I
is
mean,
real.
It kind of it kind of is like a movie, but it's Arkansas is slept on, okay? Like Arkansas is beautiful and there are some really nice people, but like keep your liberal mouth shut and you'll get along
yeah, see,
just fine.
That's, I'm gonna get lynched and they're gonna call me a Yankee. Like, that's what's gonna happen.
No, they won't. No, they won't. My cousin's wife.
Oh my gosh, I almost
in New York.
I almost want to like make a bet with you and be like, all right, when you move in and you're all settled, I'm coming.
You
and
should.
I guarantee you that I'll be called a Yankee before I leave.
I mean, you probably will, but they won't mean it mean or anything.
Uh-huh. And they'll say, bless your heart. They'll tell me to bless my heart.
I mean, they will, because Lord bless you. See, this is the thing. I don't use bless your heart to mean that someone is stupid. Like, I've heard people say that, I was like, no. Like, if I tell you bless your heart, it's because, like, something bad has happened to you, and, like, I hope that you're okay. I mean, oh, bless your heart. Like, I don't
You've
mean
never
that.
Used that phrase in my presence. I need you to know that too.
I mean, I probably haven't, but I mean, like, I don't typically. If I say "bless your heart," I mean like that really sucks. Oh, bless your heart. Like, not like you're an idiot, because if you're an idiot, I'm gonna. Well, that was stupid. Like, I'm just gonna like, and maybe that's me not being truly Southern. I don't know. Whatever.
but you've gone to other places. Like, it's funny for me, when I moved up here, my whole life I was born in Brooklyn, so my whole life in Florida, I'm from New York.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not. I
no,
spent
not.
Some summers there, and I moved down to Florida when I was 2. I was not from New York. Like, I didn't know anything about. I'd been to Broadway shows, like when we came up to visit my grandma for the summer. But my first winter here, when it's there's snow on the ground and I literally like don't know what to do about it, like however old I was, 25 or whatever, not knowing how to walk on snow, like legitimate, this was a problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
Still kind
how.
Of is a problem.
I don't know how to walk on snow. I mean, I don't.
But I was like, I'm from Florida. I'm from Florida. That's what I said as soon as I got up here. And it was like my whole life, because I never. But, and that's the thing. I'm certainly not like a Floridian. Like, yeah. People who are like native Floridians are very different than like people who moved down there.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I've been up here for 12 some years. Like, I'm a New Yorker.
Like, you're a New Yorker now. Yeah. I mean, like,
and yeah. since I technically was born here, there's no denying that. I spent right. some of my life in Florida, but I am a New Yorker.
At this point, you're a New Yorker. I mean, my thing is, I mean, I'm Southern and I cannot deny that. And I remember there was like one night we went out, like a group of friends when I lived in Connecticut, and I was in the city and I was out with you guys, and it had been a long day and I was really, really tired. And I don't know what I said, but it was like my accent came out thick. And I mean, for someone born and raised in a town of 6,000 people where the nearest interstate is 45 minutes away in Southeast Arkansas, my accent is not nearly as thick as it should be. Okay. It's just not.
And you go like you can turn it on and off.
Oh, yes, I can. And especially when I'm really, really tired, that's when I can't let it go. I mean, it's awful. And it's funny because I now work in customer service. Now, most of our customer base is Southern, but I mean, we serve people all over the U.S. and I'll get the comment. And we're like, well, where are y'all based? Oh, yes, ma'am. We're in Nashville. Well, is that where you're from? No, I'm actually from Southeast Arkansas. Oh, well, okay. Well, I just didn't know who I was talking to. Well, thank you so much. And you have a blessed day. Oh, you have a blessed day as well. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, I can do the Southern accent because I've been around it so much.
Like, so the person that you just imitated.
Referenced.
Reference is better. Did they think they were calling like India and like?
Oh no!
It's
I mean,
not
they,
like
they
you don't have a yeah. Southern accent.
No, so. they know they're calling within the United States, but they have no idea like where. A lot of people don't know where we're based. They don't know, you know, where I'm working from, or you know who I am. And I think there's this also. I mean, like I said, I work for customer service. There's also this perception, you know, that we're just some random call center, and these are people that they've hired to work and answer phone calls, you know, not that we work directly for this company. We're Nashville based,
right?
You know, like when we were in the office, I could go up one floor and sit at the same desk as the person who wrote your Sunday school material, you know, like,
right, so that you was know, we're all when you were, building. When I first said like Bibles, but you do like the CDC like course stuff and. Well, no, because that's Catholic, right?
That's Catholic, yeah. So, but
you have Sunday, so, like that's still a thing. So,
yeah. So so what our company, our primary thing, like our biggest thing that we sell is ongoing Bible study material. So, which is Sunday school. That's the easiest way to say it. You know, people do Sunday school in a lot of different ways. They do small groups. They do it on Tuesday mornings and, you know, and Wednesday nights, but ongoing, meaning every week there's a new Bible lesson. We have three major curriculum lines that we sell, that we produce. So like, you know, are edited, you know, what passages we're going to cover, how we're going to cover it. Three major curriculum lines. We sell it to adults. We have, and so of those curriculum lines, we have an adult version, a student version, so like 7th through 12th grade, elementary version, so 1st through 6th grade, and then preschool. And so we do Bible lessons from infancy all the way up through senior adults. And then we also do what we call short-term Bible studies, which is like 6 to 12-week Bible studies, usually that have a little video or something. We have those for general adult, but then we also have a huge portion that's women's Bible studies. So we have like a lot of, I would say, big name women's ministry authors, Beth Moore, Priscilla Shire, Kelly Mentor,
who also do like women's ministry conferences that are, our company is also affiliated with. So women's ministry is a big thing that we do. We're nonprofit because every bit of money that we make from the sale of our product goes back into producing more product. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, we have a bottom line, obviously, and we have employees and people that we pay. But it's mostly like Bible study material. It's an interesting, company and thing to work for. Because at its heart, it's a publishing company. It's what it exists to be. But our primary, customer is a church leader. And so it's not, and I mean, we used to have stores around the country, but we closed all of those about a year ago. And so there's still some remnants of that, of people like calling and they want like a coffee mug or, cutesy little thing to hang in their house. And I'm like, well, you know, you could go to Hobby Lobby for that. We don't sell that anymore. And, we still have some remnants of that, but we have a new CEO. We're moving more toward focusing on like the church customer, which, kudos. We have a conference center in North Carolina that I used to work for when I was in college. I've lived and worked in North Carolina too. We're in the process of selling that conference center, which at first I was really sad about, but like, it makes total sense for the company for them to not have their own conference center because we can hold a conference anywhere. But they have a huge conference center in North Carolina. It's a really old company. It's over 100 years old. And yeah, it's kind of a dream job for me. I've kind of always wanted to work for them. Not necessarily answering phone calls and being customer service, but always wanted to be involved in the creative process for producing materials for church. And so mm-hmm. it's really cool to be able to work there.
I wanted to ask, and I don't know if you are not, you have like more beliefs and interests mm-hmm. that may not align with the church, like we talked about
right
earlier. How do you like...
How do I balance the two?
I would imagine that working for people whose beliefs are so drastically different than mine, outside of like religious beliefs, but I guess more like socially or, I don't know. How do you
So obviously when I was working directly for the church, that was harder, because, you know, I was seen as a church leader and people basically felt like whatever belief system that I had, you know, that I was communicating that and teaching that to someone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and every little thing that I did in life was scrutinized and criticized and things like that. Whereas here it's a little bit different. First of all, there's a multitude of different, beliefs and, you know, and ways of thinking that work within my company. I mean, like I said, we are Southern Baptist affiliated, but even within the Southern Baptist Convention, there's a lot of different viewpoints and beliefs. Like I've been to the actual annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention and, you know, it's not all one-sided. Not everybody feels the same way about everything. It's kind of one of the glorious things about that particular denomination is that every church and every individual within that church can have their own viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we call the Baptist Faith and Message, which everything that our company puts out is measured against that. But then that's not the Bible and that's up for interpretation. And so the products and things that we put out, we don't really necessarily get into the things that we focus on the things that we all have in common and less about the things that we don't. Okay. And so, like, we're probably not going to put out a Sunday school lesson or a Bible study that's going to inherently say one way or the other a viewpoint on homosexuality. Mm-hmm. It's just not, okay? Because certain churches, so I would say most Baptist churches, kind of the viewpoint is that's sinful behavior. But we don't just sell to Baptist churches. We sell to Methodist churches and Presbyterian churches and Lutheran churches. And they don't have the same viewpoint. Right. And so we're probably not going to put
put out that viewpoint. You know, we're just going to say, this is what the Bible says, you interpret it. And so it's really refreshing to be able to work for a company that's like, that's not trying to necessarily interpret and tell you what to believe, mm-hmm. but instead, like, this is what the Bible says. It's up to you to interpret what that means. And so I don't really have to like justify or, you know, change what I believe to work for them. You know, I get to believe what I believe and other people get to believe what they believe, but what we all believe is that the Bible is true. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then how we interpret that is up to us. And so I really, that's kind of what makes working for this company the best of both worlds is that, you know, I don't have to put on a facade. I don't have to pretend to be anything other than what I believe. And I don't think anybody else that works there does. I mean, you know, we get to believe what we believe, but as long as we all agree that the Bible is true. And so it's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, I just remember, like, obviously in the past, having known you for right. a while, that there was this kind of a struggle. And I always just, I mean, I'm also stubborn and hard-headed and loud-mouthed, and I don't know that I would be able to, like, bite my tongue in a situation where someone's telling me that, like, something that I believe is wrong when right. it comes to, like, I don't know, other people. Like, I obviously yeah. get, like, you're obviously all on the same page regarding religion.
Right.
As far as faith goes. But as far as, like, you were saying, interpretation.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
obviously, and, up for debate in a lot of ways.
So, it's interesting because, you know, like, we are a religious organization in the American South. And, like, and people kind of tend to think that we would be extremely conservative, that, you know, that people would be, you know, like Republican. There was an instance where I posted on Facebook an article about something that President Trump said that was just absolutely ridiculous. And mm-hmm. I was just like, what? And, you know, and I just kind of like criticized the president. And I had a family member kind of like, he posted, he didn't tag me, and he said, but he posted like, some people need to watch what they post on social media, seeing as they work for a Southern Baptist organization, about our president. And I was like, so I knew he was definitely talking about me. Uh-huh. And so like I commented, I was like, first of all, the company that I work for, yes, is associated with the Southern Baptist Convention, but we are not owned by the Southern Baptist Convention. So first of all, you're incorrect on that. Second of all, to associate the Southern Baptist Convention with one party or one politician is absolutely blasphemous, and you need to check your sources. And so I said, my company celebrates our differences and encourages us to be active in politics. And so you need to rethink your post. Thank you. Goodbye. And like, I mean, yeah, like we are a community of so many different people and so many different viewpoints, and politics is not religion. Like,
no, well, you know, the whole separation of church and state, that's how it's supposed okay? to be.
Like,
but...
you know, I mean, you know, I have friends that were like, well, Jesus would never vote Democrat. And then I've got friends, well, Jesus would never vote Republican. I got news for you. Jesus probably wouldn't vote. Okay? Like, I mean, like, first of all, Jesus lived in the Roman Empire. They didn't vote. Jesus didn't vote. Don't, like, he didn't vote. Like, he wouldn't have voted for either one because they didn't vote. And, you know, and then, like, and people don't realize that the entire Bible, yes, the entire Bible, every single word of it is taken out of context, because guess what? We don't live in the year 100 in Galilee. Right. Like, things the entire Bible is out of context. And so, like, right.
Okay, well, unless so, like, they, like, they think, I mean, I've seen both sides of that argument, too. There are conservatives who think that Jesus would be conservative and go against all the things that they go against, except that Jesus was out there in the streets making noise, gathering followers.
And Jesus was a brown refugee.
Right, like, chances of him being conservative are, I think, pretty low, but it's not for me to decide. I'm very much of the belief that if God made people how they are, then that's how they're supposed to be. And
exactly.
That's the way I see things. But let's switch gears a little, because this has been kind of, I don't know, controversial topic heavy.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay.
I don't know. We were talking religion and politics on my alternative show. So,
you know, I mean, because what else is there to talk about?
This is alternative, though. This is certainly outside of the norm of my normal podcasting. Although, I mean, you know, other than rearranging your life again during quarantine,
yeah, right.
What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you listening to? What are you into right now?
So, yeah, I'm like literally everyone else. I've binge watched a ridiculous amount of TV, and I just finished the Witcher, and which was weird because, yeah, I don't know if I liked it, but I watched the whole thing. I haven't really been much of a reader. For one, you know, I am a TV watcher. I'm probably not nearly as intellectual as I should be, but you know, I'm not a reader, but
I work for a publishing company.
I work for a publishing company. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I read the Bible and I read like,
I'm sorry,
I read my Sunday school lesson, but like, that's it. I don't really care about anything else. No, I, you know, and just like everybody else, I am a millennial on TikTok. And so, you know, I'm all about hashtag TikTok. And
of course that's a thing.
I have found some ridiculously attractive men on TikTok. I'm just saying.
I am not on the TikTok train at all. Like, I downloaded it.
I didn't think that I would be either, but it's fun.
And then I deleted it because I was like, I don't care. And I'm just, I don't care. And everyone's on it. Like, Joey Fatone from NSYNC was posting his videos on Instagram. Thankfully, he's posting them on Instagram, but they say TikTok in the corner. So I know that he's on TikTok.
I follow Joey on TikTok.
But he was posting, like, playing with his Muppet puppets.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm like, I don't know why I can't get into it. I don't.
It's so great.
Although I'm also like, I'm over Snapchat. If it wasn't for, like, the archive on Snapchat, I would not keep my Snapchat. Like, I would delete it at this point, but I'm so scared that there's a video on there that I don't have saved. Like, even though every now and then I go over there and I make sure, like, I'll save videos.
Sure.
But I'm still just like, no, I need it. So,
but yeah.
I want to delete it. Like, that's how much I don't care about it. I don't use it. I don't want it. I get annoyed when I open it and I have messages from people because I'm like, y'all know I don't use this platform anymore.
But watching a lot of TV. I've spent a lot of time on TikTok. I'm like hopelessly single, and like dating apps have never worked. So I don't know why they would work in a pandemic, but here we are. And so I've tried that and it didn't work. And so, you know, it is what it is. My nephew just turned 1 year old, and so we had a birthday party for him.
It's
so
been a year already.
It's been a year. He's a year old. Yesterday. And so I know, right? And so I'm obsessed with him and spending time with him anytime I get to come to Arkansas and spend time with him. And
is, you know, that it's part kind of why you're looking to move home? Like,
yeah. So kind of the thought process with that is I had not really thought about moving home until I went on vacation with my family in June. And I realized kind of like the tight relationship that my family has without me, that I didn't kind of want to miss out on that. And plus, I mean, even if I don't find the right person, you know, and I likely won't be able to have biological children anyway, which that's a whole other conversation, you know, just health wise. But, you know, I want to be able to have children. And so the idea of being able to have my own home close to my family, you know, opens up the doors for adoption and foster and, you know, and lots of different other options and ways to become a mom. And so that's kind of another part of it as well, is like, you know, I want to be a mom and I want my kids to know their grandparents. And so I was like, you know, and I like the idea, even though it's small town, hick, rural, Southeast Arkansas, it is my hometown. And like, I love the idea of like my children cheering on the Lumberjacks and being Razorback fans and, you know, all of the things that we do when we're Southern. And so I want them to know how to fish and shoot a deer and get their hunting license and, because those are real things that I have. And so, yeah, I like it.
I've never tried again, so.
I have trophies on my shelf in my parents' house from when not only can I shoot a gun, I can shoot a gun very well. And so, and I made a perfect score on my hunter's education class that I took in my public junior high school. So yes, I qualified and got my hunter's education as a part of PE.
Wow.
So welcome to the South. We don't
honestly,
run,
I probably, that's, I was just going to say, that's probably something I would have done too. Oh, is the hunting an option? I'll do that.
It's
not for like, I'm obviously not like pro, like people like open carry or anything like that.
Oh, sure. No, me neither.
Opportunity to shoot again. I've held guns. My dad has gone hunting. I want to go to a shooting range. Like that's something I would like to do.
I think that would be really fun.
But I don't want to do shotguns. Like I want to go to the shooting range.
Like a pistol.
Yeah.
I've never shot a pistol. I've only ever shot a rifle. I don't know that I would be good at a shooting with a pistol because I'm very used to being able to have something like balanced on my shoulder.
Mm.
And so I don't know that I would be good. Right. As opposed to like, and like my eyesight sucks. And like with a rifle, you can line it up, you know, on your shoulder. I don't use a scope. I use like, they have like little markings on the top of the barrel of a shotgun that you can line up. I've never used a scope, but I mean, that'd be awesome. But yeah, it's just not, it's completely different with a pistol, but I think it would be fun to shoot and see if I was any good at it. But
yeah, so I've never done a lot of Southern things, I'm sure.
That's the thing. You need to come. Seriously, when I get my house, we'll come and we'll do all the Southern things and avoid people. Because I live in the middle of nowhere, so we can avoid people. It's okay. We can go float a river and we can...
I'm not doing that at all.
Super fun. No, it's super fun. You get in like a canoe or a kayak or even like a giant inner tube, and usually there is a cooler full of your favorite beverage, and you put that in.
Would you take in me mudding?
I could take you mudding.
I don't want to go mudding. Do you?
I mean, my mom has a Jeep. My parents went to a waterfall on Saturday and they took their Harley, and my mom was like, don't take your car. Like it almost beat the crap out of the Harley. Don't take your car to this waterfall. And she was like, you need a Jeep. And I'm like, all right.
Like mud? Like,
no. So it's like to get to the waterfall, you have to go up this, like, it's like 5 miles on like a gravel or dirt road.
Yeah.
And so it's like really rough. And so my parents took their Harley and they like instantly regretted it. Uh-huh. Like it was worth it once they got there, but it was like they're all the time over the, so my parents have a, Harley Davidson trike, and so they're all the time over the weekend going on some sort of trike trip, whether it be to a lake or a waterfall or a mountain. There's just a lot of really pretty things to see in Arkansas, and so they get out and do that. My sister and brother-in-law are the same way. They're more of hikers, which and so they get out and hike a lot. But yeah, I mean, like I said, Arkansas is slept on. It's beautiful. People don't think about Arkansas, but
well,
they should.
To be fair, like I've been to Atlanta, and like that's like not even like other parts of Georgia, just Atlanta. And I've driven like through Indiana and stuff too. I haven't stopped to go anywhere.
I've never been to Texas. I've never been to Indiana.
I've never been to Alabama, Mississippi, any of those places. Yeah.
You should come.
I would like to go to New Orleans. That's where I would like to go.
I've never been to New Orleans, and it's 4.5 hours from my hometown. You should come and visit me in Arkansas, and we'll make a trip to New Orleans together. Let's just do it.
That's how you get me.
That's what we do. That's what we do. You come, you fly into Little Rock. I pick you up. You hang out at my house. We do the Arkansas rural Southern redneck things, and then we go to New Orleans. Like, that's what we do. Once COVID's over.
Right. All right, well, when I first talked to you about coming on, I wanted to ask about like your experiences with like The Biggest Loser and stuff, but I feel like we're running out of time. So
yeah, I mean,
if anything, I mean, maybe we can definitely do this again.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about that whole thing because that's
well, yeah, that was, I mean, honestly, kind of my thought process, because like I don't know anybody who's like other than you who has like auditioned for these things and like done stuff like that. Like, I mean, I sort of know some people who have been on shows, but not. I don't know. I don't think I know them well enough to be like, hey, come chat with me for an hour on my podcast. But
yeah, I've done, let's see, I've done Biggest Loser auditions 7 times. And
is that something you would still pursue?
Absolutely. I'm actually in the running right now, but they're not they went through.
They're not doing
because
of.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't know when they'll be able to produce. And so, like, they started taking submissions, but they haven't really done anything with it. So they haven't done, like, callbacks. They're not doing nationwide auditions. They just took, like, video submissions and short video, not even long video yet. Mm. But, yeah, that's for Biggest Loser. And then they used to have the show Extreme Weight Loss as well, which I did 3 times. Three times. I've gotten callbacks from Biggest Loser 2 times. I've gotten callback from Extreme Weight Loss all 3 times. It's the same casting directors, same people, but I've never gotten cast on the show so far. Ironically, where this last season of Biggest Loser was filmed used to be owned by the company I worked for. And so it's Glorieta Conference Center in New Mexico, which my company used to own. But like watching the first episode, and I'm like, oh, that's Glorieta. I was like, what? And they were like, right. And they were, I think they said it was like right outside of Santa Fe. And I was like, yeah, 45 minutes south in Glorieta. I was like, I know exactly where you are. But oh well.
Did you mention that on your last audition?
Yes, I did.
Maybe this time it'll work, and then I'll have to have you on because you win The Biggest Loser, and I'll have to have you on the podcast.
That's right. I will be completely different
on the show.
I mean, I'm losing weight on my own, so gotta love being big though. I've lost 35 pounds and people can't even tell that I look any different.
Oh yeah, I know, it's very frustrating.
35 like, freaking pounds, people.
It like. And then
but
overnight,
I don't look any different.
But then overnight, it will. Like, then one, you'll be like, oh, look at that. Because that's, like, I don't know. Every time I lose a significant enough amount of weight that I can tell, it takes me a long time before I notice. And then even still, I still have, like, a body dysmorphia kind of problem where, like, I think I'm a lot bigger than I am. Normally, I don't normally have a problem thinking I'm a lot smaller than I am. But,
no, neither.
There was at least one time that I attempted to, like, sit on a subway car thinking there was room for me. And, like, I started to sit and realized there wasn't. And, like, that's mortifying. And, of course, no one else sees the embarrassment to that. You know what I mean? Like, no one else thinks about it the way that you do. But, like, I wanted to die the first time that happened to me. And so typically, unless there's, like, a very wide, like, wider than necessary gap, I don't even attempt to sit down on the train.
I got you. No, I understand. No, I'm definitely with you. And that's the thing, like I talked about, like being on TikTok or whatever, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of really cool things that on TikTok that are like fat positive and, or like, you know, how to navigate this world being a big person. And I mean, I learned something about traveling with Southwest Airlines that I didn't know, that you can purchase 2 seats for Southwest, but then ask them to refund the other one mm-hmm. and they will.
Oh, that's good to know, I guess.
Who knew? So, like, you can have, like, so you still get 2 seats, uh-huh. and you can board first, and, you know, and all of this, and you can have 2 seats to yourself, but only have to pay for one. And I'm like, well, that's good to know. Not that I'm flying anywhere, but, you know, it looks right. like all of these different things that were cool.
Well, I mean, I also cool. typically don't fly the quote-unquote like discount airlines. I had a really bad experience with like Spirit once, and I was like, never again. And then
I've never flown Spirit or like Frontier or anything like that. I'm usually like Delta or
I'm Southwest. Delta and JetBlue girl, so
yeah.
But that's also based on New York, you know, like the JFK, like, is one of the big hubs for JetBlue, so, like...
Right, right, and I'm from the South, and so, like, Delta is Atlanta, and Southwest is Texas, and so...
Right.
Those are our big ones, but, yeah, well, I was just looking at the time, and we have been talking...
Yes, we have been talking...
A while, so...
So, I would ask if you want to, like, let people, like, look you up on social media or something, but I don't know if you want to invite that.
Okay, yeah, well. Absolutely. So, yeah, social media, my Instagram is AOMusic38410. That's really random. I've had it since I was in college. And so that's my Instagram. And then I am on TikTok, and it's my full name. So here's my full name, Amanda S. Osment. And so you can follow me on TikTok and on Facebook TikTok. As well. So TikTok.
Wait, do you, I love you it. Post content, or you just...
Occasionally. So I've done some posts, and I was a music major in college, and so I sing sometimes. And there's this, the one that I literally just posted today, this guy with like the most sexy, deep, like English accent. And people have commented about how they love the way that he says the word darling, but he like, was like, well, thanks, but the like the most sexy accent was is a somebody from the South saying darling. I'm like, all right, challenge accepted. Hey darling, what's up? And so, you know, and so like I do like random things, but it's a lot of like body positivity and you know, and like putting myself out there, because not that TikTok's a dating app, but like, you know, there's a lot of
people. Hey, you never know. People hit on me on all of the platforms. Doesn't even matter.
Of course they do. Like,
no.
You bet.
All right. All right. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. All right.
Bye. All right. I want to again thank Amanda for taking the time to talk to me. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to subscribe on your preferred platform, but also Spotify if you are a premium Spotify user, and then you can get the music episodes of Side B exclusively on Spotify because of Anchor, which is awesome. I'm very excited about it, but also you can only hear it on Spotify. but I am on all the other platforms, iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Overcast, and a million others that I can't even think of off the top of my head. But you can find all of that on my Anchor page, anchor.fm/SideBRadio. You can find me on Twitter at Side B Radio. Find me on Instagram at Side B Podcast. Facebook.com/SideBRadio. It's all about the Side B Radio. And, I mean, thank you again to TalkFine for making this awesome jingle at the beginning of the show. And thank you guys all for sticking with me. I know it's been a while since an actual episode was uploaded, but, you know, I had to regather my thoughts and whatnot and get some interviews going. If you or someone you know would be a good candidate to be on Side B Radio and have a conversation with me, hit me up. Would love to hear from you. Yeah, so next week is probably going to be another music episode exclusively to Spotify, but I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care. Hopefully tomorrow, November 3rd, won't end in disaster. And I will see you next week, because who knows what's going to happen this week. Hopefully nothing terrible. Talk to you guys soon. Thank you again. Goodbye.